Apparently he was living two personalities. The personality that was dealing with kids, driving the bus, the personality of being a musician, playing the bass, and the personality behind him that was committing this crime. Nobody in the neighborhood or in the family could imagine that something like this was happening. Very shameful. It's a shame that a member of my family, we're a large family, it's a shame that a member of my family has committed such a crime.
Julio Castro, disgusted by his three relations when it comes to what has happened in a dungeon in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Truly, everybody is still talking about some of the sordid details coming out of Ohio. And, you know, you think about this, and I was looking at this today, but not too far away, there were other girls who went missing 4 years ago and were found dead. In fact, they were buried in yards. It was a much more poverty-stricken area of town, and the police were slammed following the discovery of 11 women's bodies, if you remember, in the backyard and in the house of Anthony Sowell, who was later convicted of murder and sentenced to death. The families of Sowell's victims accused the cops of failing to properly investigate because they didn't care, because most of the women were addicted to drugs and poor, so they didn't have any reason to be concerned with what was going on there. Now you have neighbors who reported to the cops during the time period, the 10 years that the three were being held in a prison, raped, sexually abused, giving birth to children, being beaten and losing children. You have calls that happened in that time frame where neighbors said, where they called up the cops and said, my daughter saw a naked woman crawling in the backyard and she looked distraught. Boom, they go, nothing. Knock on the door, nobody answers, it's dropped. Another time somebody called and said they could hear people yelling and there was like a kicking at a window. The cops went, they left, and that was it. Then the son of the main culprit, Ariel Castro, his son, who didn't spend much time with him, said that when he was young, he can remember locks on the basement, locks all over the place, and places like the garage where he was told, do not go. His son, Anthony, in a special interview with the Daily Mail newspaper, talked about that, said he seldom went to visit, but he was there 2 weeks ago, and his father wouldn't even let him inside the house. Wow, there are some awful twists of fate, I think, in this story. And you have five children that were born because of this. And the police are squirming in Cleveland. They're trying to answer the questions. They're talking about the need to be more vigilant, but saying that they went back and looked in their records and they didn't have some of the records of those phone calls. And, you know, somebody dropped the ball when they had a chance to go and find out what happened, because you can roll the clock back to 2004, and that's when they went to the home after child welfare alerted them that Castro had left a kid unattended on a bus. So they went to the door. No one answered the door. The police decided, there's no criminal intent on his part. They left. Unbelievable. And then there were other scrapes with the law for Ariel Castro, and of course his two brothers also are a part of this whole thing, and it's an unbelievable nightmare. Words really probably can't describe adequately the way these three must feel. I mean, they were taken captive, they were kids, they vanished into thin air, and they were 3 miles away from where they went missing, and they weren't found. 3 miles away. Imagine how many times the families went through that neighborhood looking for their kids. One was 14, one was 17, hanging up posters, hoping that somebody had an answer as to what happened. And, of course, how would Ariel Castro prey on these girls. He was a school bus driver. And the home was in a poor neighborhood that had boarded up houses just south of downtown Cleveland. So now you have grown women who are being reunited with their families. They've been cleared from the hospital. There's the good news to that story. Amanda Berry is 27 now. Michelle Knight is 32. And Gina De Jesus is around 23. And they've all been there since their teens or early 20s. The concern is there may be other women who were killed. They're digging up the entire yard to see if they find any bodies. If they find anybody in the ground, and so far no word on that. But this is a crazy story. You think of Elizabeth Smart. You think of J.C. Dugard. They were held captive at very young ages, and then they were rescued or got out of captivity. Thank goodness, because somebody saw them. In both of those cases, somebody recognized them on the street as they were out with the people who were holding them. And this is probably, in a way, perhaps gives hope to people who have missing children. You think of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and as this story unfolds, there are the sad, sick twists and the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But on the other hand, they're alive, they're being reunited with their families, and maybe there's hope for other people in the same situation. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to hit the mailbag, as I often invite many of you to send us your thoughts. If you don't call us, to send them to us snail mail style, and plenty of you did. You had lots to say about Benghazi and some other things, so we'll hit the mailbag. Also, really excited about a guest that's coming up. His name is Peter Segal, and Peter Segal is a guy who you see on PBS. He's had a show on PBS for 15 years, and NPR, and now he's doing a series on PBS, easy for me to say, about the Constitution, and he did something really cool. He set out on a Harley across America and will bring us stories these upcoming weeks of all kinds of things challenging the amendments and the Constitution and what does the Constitution really mean to people and that kind of thing. So Peter Segal is just terrific, and we're very excited to have him on to talk about what he found as he was cruising around. What were the big things that people cared about? You know, what amendments were they that seemed to get the most focus? And he picked out some interesting stories: medical marijuana, a gun and enthusiast story, Little Rock Nine, talk to someone from the Little Rock Nine. And you think about it, as he described to me, what is the Constitution? Four pieces of parchment, but it's four pieces of parchment that give us the freedom that we have in these United States. So 26 states, that's what Peter Segal was able to do on his Harley. Wow, how wild is that? So we'll be talking a little Constitution with him. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. Mailbag next on America Tonight.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words: disaster stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words: DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finally, we're checking that mailbag again. I am so fond of saying this, I'm going to say it again. You have some thoughts, you want to let it fly, you want to vent, you want to tell me what you think about the Constitution, you want to tell me what you think about Chris Christie's secret lap band surgery, you want to react to the craziness of the capture of the three teenagers who were kidnapped in Cleveland, do it, americatonight.net. Many of you already have. So with that, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Top on the list, Bobby in New Jersey says, yo, Governor Chris Christie, Kate Delaney, what do you think of that? I was stunned. I saw it come across the screen when I was looking at CNN at work that he had weight loss surgery. For some reason, I'm surprised by this. I can't imagine that the governor wanted that to get out. What do you think? Oh, he was not happy that it got out. He said it's none of your business. But when you're a public figure, everything's everyone's business. We live in the world where nothing's secret. And there's no doubt about it that Christie was too heavy. He says it wasn't about trying to run for a higher office, because, you know, his name keeps coming up when we talk about presidents in the future for the Republicans. He's certainly on the bench. It's debatable as if he would be the guy who would get the nomination. It's too far away. We can certainly spitball that, but he, you know, it's up in the air. But he's on the short list. And if you think of our presidents and the shape they've been in, there's a thing called fighting weight, and really they've all been fighting weight for the most part. You could go way back. You could talk about Teddy Roosevelt, certainly, and some others, but there's just no doubt, especially with the world we live in. So he's saying it was about his health, it was about his family, and it wasn't at all about politics going further up the chain. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the lap band surgery, because sometimes that takes a while to take, and then, you know, there's a whole thing about the food and what you can eat, but, wow, it is big news. There's no doubt about that. All right, we move on to this one from Jake in Austin. Man, Jake, you get the award for the longest emailer every single day, almost, unless he's gone away. He sends us emails. That's probably been in the last 2 years. And this is what Jake writes. I was horrified to learn about some of the details of those three women who were kidnapped. They were just children, for goodness sake. How awful for those families to go through that anguish. I cannot imagine having a 16-year-old daughter who goes off to work her job, is going to school, And here we are getting ready to celebrate a birthday, and she vanishes from the face of the earth, and they cannot find her anywhere. And she shows up 10 years later. Horrifying. They should castrate all three of those men, but of course we live in America. That won't happen, but they deserve to get the toughest sentence that you could possibly imagine, and that would be life, life, life. So odd, Kate. Yeah, it is so odd. You know, the three women are now united with their families, and can you imagine how tough that is? The conversations, what you avoid saying, trying to comfort them. Just, I read one story about the mother of Gina De Jesus, and she said she was so distraught, and she had moved to Florida, and when she came, would come back and visit in Cleveland, she was still putting out flyers if anyone had any information about her daughter. She was still doing that somewhere in the back of her mind, hoping that some miracle would happen, and it's very strange. Now that they have to start over again. All right, so Jake wasn't the only one who wanted to know about that. Chuck, listening in Illinois, says, I can't believe that those three scumbags did what they did to those young girls. There's just something so wrong about that. I can't even describe it to you aptly in this email. I know that I have a daughter and she's wonderful and would make me so beyond furious. I can't use the words. If something were to happen to her, I would want retribution. They would have to hold me back. It is sickening. There is no explanation for this whatsoever. Just seedy, sick men. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Tied up for all that time. I mean, who knows the ins and outs of what went on once they were in the house, probably in the beginning, and then, you know, 10 years is a long time if you look at the timeline of that. Does this give, here's what I think, the other flip side of this, and I kind of wonder, with this Cleveland case, and we've seen a few others, do some parents out there who have had children missing for a long time, does this give them some sense of hope that perhaps they could get lucky, that something, you know, that they could be that miracle, that something could happen and they could get that call in the middle of the night or whatever. I mean, certainly this is horrific and terrible and awful, but I guess the good thing is there still is life, and they still have these kids back, but they're not kids anymore. I mean, one of the girls was 14 years old, for goodness sake, and I mean, that's just crazy awful. 14 years old. Wow. Just, I can't believe it. All right, let's move on to the next one. And, boy, everybody's talking about a couple of different things here. This one comes to us from Bill, who says, Hi, America. Tonight, I've been listening to the show for quite some time. I have to say, I seem to enjoy it more and more when I get the opportunity to tune in. I heard you describe what happened to the bride and some of the bridesmaids, I'm assuming, in that terrible limo fire. I would think that the California investigators would be anxious to get to the bottom of that, how it exploded. And I saw the pictures of it after you described it. I went and looked at it, and you're right. It's just terrible. It looks like it is a bombed car somewhere in Afghanistan, and I can only imagine how those families feel. For goodness sake, she was on the doorstep of getting married. Imagine the man that she was supposed to marry and how he feels. Just chilling. Just another reason why you have to live each day to the fullest. Again, love the show. Keep listening. I talked about that a couple days ago. It happened over the weekend, and they still don't know. They had thick smoke, a fire in the back of the limousine. They desperately, the bride even, tried to squeeze through a tiny partition. And one of the women made it out that way. In fact, four of them altogether made it out that way. They were able to squeeze into the front and then get out. But five didn't make it, and this is just so sad, they found their bodies pressed against the partition, so they were probably trying to get out, and it was too late. You know, four made it out, the driver made it out, and then that was it. There was no, it was too late. They couldn't get out, and it just was so quick, the fire, so the driver stopped the car, got out of the car, and did whatever he could to help them. And it's, man, it is a very depressing, depressing, depressing story without a doubt. Here's another one about the limo driver, and this one from Ann from Missouri. And Ann says, Kate D, been listening. Got to tell you, I am wondering what really is the story with that limousine. How can they explain that it just exploded? Did somebody jimmy-rig it? Was there something that was flammable that was somehow in that car and caught fire? Was somebody smoking a cigarette? Is there something that we don't know about it? It's a terrible, terrible story, and it had to be a painful, awful way to die in what should have been a very celebratory time in someone's life. I wonder if more people will not want to take limousines and that sort of thing when they go out to these bachelor or bachelorette parties. Now, there have been some freak accidents in limousines, but, you know, that's like saying, I will never cross the street because of a terrible story I heard about someone crossing the street and they got killed out of nowhere, and freak things happen, and this is probably one of those circumstances because, you know, how does it catch fire? That's, again, the thing we want to know. Why, how did that happen? Was it something in the limousine? Was it something in the back of the limousine? You know, what was it? Because it went up so fast, and that's the thing you can tell when you look at the car. You can see that, the burned-out car, you can see that it went up so quickly. There just was no way to get everyone out of there. I guess that's the, you know, I guess that's the other thing. And, you know, maybe some of those cars, especially these long cars that they have, how they remodel and stuff, maybe there's some danger to that. What are the exits? How many people have to jump out of the car if you've ever been in a limousine, a big stretch limousine, and that's what that was with as many of the women that were in there. All right, one last one I think we have time for, and this one comes to us from Brett, who says, Kate, I am so anxious to hear about the Benghazi testimony, and that happens, I think you said, later this week. The Republicans are going to try to show that there was some kind of cover-up. The whistleblowers will add to the drama of this Benghazi testimony, without a doubt. And I would have to say that it seems as though there is some kind of a cover-up here, because the reports don't match up from everything I've read and from what you've talked about on America Tonight. You know, it just didn't sit right with anybody. And you mentioned this. You wondered if this would hurt Hillary Clinton when it came to a possible run for president. Yeah, that'll be the curious thing, because does this come back on Hillary? Remember, she leaves the State Department. She is the top dog there. What did she know? You know, I think this does have possibilities for toppling Clinton if it traces all the way up to her. But we'll see what happens there. Hey, thanks for all your emails. Appreciate it.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillow, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Next guest, he is just the greatest show on NPR. Wait, don't tell me. Peter Sagal, of course, and he's got something new cooking, Constitution USA. Wait till you hear about this show. He's going across the nation to look at the Constitution. And what did I read? How many words there were? 4,418 words, 27 amendments. Of course, we know that. And I know this really resonates with this audience across America.
Sure.
Peter's doing it in a very interesting way. Peter, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it, man.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Hey, so tell everybody how you're doing this journey. Are you doing it in a Winnebago? Or what are you? Are you walking?
Please,
what are you doing?
Please, speak not of those. Of those uncool conveyances. No, we did this by taking a Harley-Davidson, a stock 2012 Road King for your biker listeners, and putting a fabulous paint job on it, red, white, and blue with We the People written on the gas tank in the constitutional style of the script, and riding that thing across the country. And we're talking to people about the Constitution, but not just, you know, people on the street, although we do that as well. The people we're talking to are people who are deeply involved, willingly or not, in constitutional issues, a medical marijuana person in California, a gun enthusiast, a gun advocate in Montana, a guy whose home was torn down by the city of New London after they won the very controversial Supreme Court case known as Kelo versus New London, which expanded to eminent domain. One of the Little Rock Nine, who at the 1957 was a little girl who was escorted by the 101st Airborne into her high school because the Supreme Court had ordered integration. And the people of Little Rock resisted, and Eisenhower sent in the troops to enforce the law. People like that, people who are really, willingly or not, at the center of our constitutional debates now. We didn't want to do you know, classic history. Oh, 225 years ago, these people in wigs did this thing, and shouldn't we all be grateful? No, we wanted to do it like, what's happening now? How does the Constitution work and live today?
Yeah. The what was one of the most surprising things you found in doing this?
Well, I mean, we found a lot of things that were surprising and interesting. In general, the most surprising thing is that the Constitution just isn't what a lot of people think it is. And I include myself before I started this project. Most people think of the Constitution as this ruling law that all by itself will solve your problems, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want free speech, well, the Constitution will protect it. If you want guns, the Constitution will protect that. If you want freedom of movement or to hold onto your property, well, this is a free country and the Constitution and I have my rights. The Constitution by itself does nothing. It is a piece of paper or four pieces of parchment. All it does by itself is slowly fade. The thing that makes the Constitution work is us, is Americans, and our daily interactions with each other and our group decision to simply abide by it and the rule of law. And that means everything from the fact that a police officer doesn't beat the hell out of you to get a confession when he arrests you. It means you're going to agree to a parking ticket or challenge it in court rather than, I don't know, run off into the woods with your weapons and hide from the police. It means the president agreeing to leave office when he or she loses an election. All of those acts together, millions of them committed every day, create the Constitution. It's not the paper, it's us.
Absolutely. And in talking about the stories, as you mentioned, medical marijuana, Little Rock Nine, interesting. So really a wide swath. How did you narrow down? Because there are so many issues. How did you narrow down who you wanted to talk to?
It was tough. One of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to get away from what everybody thinks of when they think of the Constitution. And they usually mean First Amendment, Second Amendment, and or abortion. That's what you hear about. And those are all important, by all means. I don't want to dismiss those concerns. But there are so many other things that actually pertain to the life as we live it on a daily basis. For example, we wanted to explore the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause is a really interesting thing that most people don't really understand. It refers to a phrase in the Constitution that Congress shall have the power to regulate trade among the several states. That's the Commerce Clause, mm-hmm. or regulate commerce among the several states. And the meanings of those words have been debated for pretty much our entire history. And in the 20th century, as our interpretation of those words changed, we created what we think of as the modern regulatory state. It's really important. It's why we have an FDA. It's why we have an EPA. It's why we have Obamacare, all done under the Commerce Clause, although mm-hmm. in the end it was done under the taxing power, but that's getting technical. You want to talk about federalism, another boring concept that's really important. Well, that's medical marijuana. The guy selling medical marijuana in Oakland, is perfectly legal under California law. He's a law-abiding taxpayer, according to the state of California. According to the federal government, he's a criminal deserving of the death penalty. And that's not hyperbole. We passed a death penalty act that subjects high-volume drug dealers to the death penalty. How can he be both things at once? And it's a difficult question. And again, an argument that we've been having ever since the country was founded. Who's in control? Your locality, the state, the government?
Yeah, absolutely. And this sounds like we're doing my show because that's what we talk about constantly, as you can imagine.
Well, it's good for you. It's important.
It is important. You weave in so many different issues. You know, we talked at the top the fact that you're doing this on a motorcycle and on this road, hitting the road on the motorcycle. How was that for you? Because, you know, traveling cross country, that's not exactly easy.
Well, no, I need to be honest with you. I didn't actually travel across the country. It would have taken way too long for me to, say, ride from my home in Chicago all the way to Oakland, where we interviewed that medical cannabis salesman. So what we did was we put the bike on a trailer, and using the magic of Hollywood, we moved it about that way. Although I did, in the end, put about 1,000 miles on it. Sometimes it was just easier to ride the damn thing than put it in the trailer. So I got a lot of time on the bike, and let me tell you, that was awfully great. I had forgotten how wonderful it was.
Well, we know this is going to be educational for everybody, certainly, who watches this. But for you, as you said that, you said there were some things you didn't realize. What were some of the key takeaways for you as far as the Constitution is concerned?
I think that the Constitution has levels of genius that I didn't appreciate. That the Constitution was at its ratification, and this I'm quoting Akhil Rita Mar, one of our experts, the single greatest event in the history of mankind. And he laid that out on me, you know. And I'm like, oh, please, really? But it's true. If you think about it, all prior human history, government was by force with, you know, slight variations. sometimes the elite and most powerful group would agree to share power, and you'd get something like Athenian democracy, which still had slaves and non-citizens and people who had no choice about how they would live their lives. It wasn't until 1787 when an entire people, a continent's worth of people, were able to vote on how they would govern themselves. And they decided to govern themselves democratically. They didn't vote on a king. They didn't vote to hand over power to a monarchy. They voted on a form of government that will allow them to perpetually govern themselves. And that really had never happened before in the history of the world. And ever since then, of course, that notion, that idea of people taking their government into their own hands has been, if not the norm, it's been the ideal that more and more and more countries have moved towards. And that's really an amazing thing. I never really appreciated that before. That's maybe the most significant thing.
Yeah, wow. Do you have a, you know, for me, the favorite amendment, of course, is Amendment 1, but I grew up in a journalism household. I got a journalism degree, so that kind of makes sense, even though I've looked at other amendments and talked to constitutional scholars, and we look at the challenges now and what's happening in the court system with some things that relate to the Constitution. But still, Amendment number 1 is always my favorite. What about you?
Well, it's tricky. My joke is my favorite is Amendment number 3 because, you know, I just don't like troops being quartered in my home. I think that there, if you really wanted to go someplace, I'd look at the Fifth and Eighth Amendments, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth, because they're the ones that help us and protect us when the government is out to get us. I guess you'd include the Fourth, and that's really important because the idea that we have, I mean, you know, like, look at this. You and I are having this conversation on the radio, and no one's going to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I could say one of the 7 words, and maybe you'd get in trouble, fine, but, you know, nobody cares.
Right.
What happens to you when the government decides they really don't like you? What happens when the government decides that you're a danger? It's then that you really need the protections. And so the protections for criminal defendants and civil defendants, the protections against search and seizure, the protections about the nature of trials we have, those are really important. Because we are most vulnerable when we are at our most unpopular. So I came to a real appreciation of those protections, and more than that, the people who make sure those protections work. One of my favorite people we talked to is a woman named Maya Angel Cody, who works as a federal defense attorney here in Chicago. And she is a very bright woman. She could be working for a lot more money in any private law firm she wanted the second she raised her hand and said she'd be willing to do it. But she believes that by defending, I guess what some people would call the worst of the worst, you know, we're talking drug users and petty criminals and guys who are in endless amounts of repeated trouble. But by defending those people, she believes that she is upholding the Constitution in a profound way. And I agree with her. Because the government can't just throw you in jail. They can't just decide you're not worth having around. They have to prove it. They have to accord you rights. They have to give you a chance to defend yourself. Again, unheard of in human history.
Yeah, no kidding. You look at other situations, state-run news agencies, you know, if you look at even China, certainly North Korea, and there's a slew of other places. That's why they all thirst, Peter, so many people to come to America to drink in the freedoms that we have.
It's exactly.
Good, it's a good reminder.
We went to a naturalization ceremony for new citizens in Chicago, and we talked to everybody about the reasons they came to America and went through the process of becoming citizens. Not an easy thing to do. And many of them, as you would expect, they wanted to be free, they wanted to make a living, they wanted more opportunity for themselves and their family, just like you and I would. But there were some people, one guy who told us about the story about how he was taken in the middle of the night by the police in his home country of El Salvador and tortured. I mean, in other countries, there's nothing to stop people from doing that. And here, not only do we have our Bill of Rights, but even more importantly, we have ranges of people who are determined to uphold it. And that's really what saves us all, this American creed that everybody has rights, we are a government of laws, and we will behave according to those dictates at all times. And if we screw it up, we'll self-correct. If we screw it up, we'll hold the person responsible, we'll undo the damage and move on.
Yeah. Well said. Can't wait to see this, folks, tonight, of course, and we're going to be pubbing it. And it starts at 9 o'clock, Constitution, USA, with Peter Segal. Peter, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for your good work.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Pete. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comm block shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazine.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Yeah.
over at his party. He wins a special election for Congress. He beats the Democrat Elizabeth Colbert Bush. And, man, he by at least 10 points he's carrying this one. Could be a little bit more when it's all said and done. So it just goes to show you there is redemption if you have still a shred of popularity, which he did because he did that mea culpa. And in 2009, when he was ready to quit politics for good, if he wasn't victorious in this congressional win, that's what he would have done. So 2009, he gets he admits to the extramarital affair, and you think that's it for him. I mean, how much political life do you have? But all those revelations about, you know, Sanford's ex-wife Jenny accusing him of trespassing at her home, all that kind of stuff, that actually caused the National Republican Congressional Committee to withdraw support in mid-April, and that gave Colbert Bush that opening to really run for this. But things turned around because he just knocked on a zillion doors, asked people to forgive what happened before, spread the word about stopping the debt, curbing the nation's debt, sending a message to his Democratic rival big time, and I think this is probably what made the biggest difference for him in this race. And I think some of the Democrats would be pretty surprised because they thought they had this. I think they thought they had this in the bag, especially since he wasn't getting support from the Republicans on the national level. So Sanford once again proves that it is possible to have nine lives or nine plus one life left in politics, because he wins it even after that whole scandal. Coming up on Wednesday, this is the big thing, is Benghazi. We've been talking about this now, it seems like forever, since September 11th of last year. And will the testimony now expose Benghazi as a big cover-up? The Pentagon denies that they could have, you know, help could have been sent. There's all kinds of aspects to this, including, does this bring Hillary Clinton down because she was the Secretary of State? And if this was whitewashed, you would think that there's a possibility it could touch her, and especially with the idea that she would run in 2016. So all these unanswered questions. Greg Hicks is probably the loudest whistleblower. And two of the whistleblowers' opening statements affirm that they certainly have the credentials, but we already knew that. And for Greg Hicks especially, he's been saying that he was pressured to say other things, and he says, until the aftermath of Benghazi, I love my job every day. He was the deputy chief of mission in Libya and became the top diplomat in the country after the ambassador, Chris Stevens, was killed in that terror attack. The other whistleblower, Mark Thompson, from the State Department Counterterrorism Bureau, is supposed to give some pretty interesting testimony, too. And then Eric Nordstrom, a diplomatic security officer, who was formerly the regional security guy in Libya, is also supposed to testify. And it's being billed as blowing the lid off of a major, major cover-up. Peel back the onion, in fact, in our next segment of that with my pal Andrew Sabo, is going to focus on what's happening with Benghazi. You know, we'll be talking about it a lot in our show. You know, the question is accountability, accountability, and accountability for lying. And even Daryl Issa, the Republican from California, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, said, listen, the American people were ripped off. They were lied to, period. And he was the one who kept up the pressure to see something happen. And now you've got Democrats who are also on board with this thing. I mean, they're not every Democrat, but there are several Democrats who are saying it's just not right. There's things that don't add up here. The Congressman Jason Chaffetz, he's a Republican too from Utah, says if it weren't for the persistence, we would be left with a whole bunch of lies coming out of the administration because they weren't truthful about this. And the truth surrounding the Benghazi attack has been, if anything, elusive, elusive, elusive. And the administration is denying, and they have done this several times of the latest charges, including a claim that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and an aide tried to cut the department's counterterrorism bureau out of the chain of reporting and decision making on September 11th. They also denied that the whistleblowers in question were intimidated while behind the scenes, you know, questioning the credibility of the witnesses. So I'm anxious to see what the testimony sounds like. I know I'm going to be watching it. And of course, we'll have lots of reports on it. The Benghazi fact check just doesn't add up. You wouldn't have Democrats that were jumping on board with this if things weren't adding up correctly. I mean, Hicks already in the transcripts told investigators that the U.S. military could have prevented one wave of the deadly attack on American personnel in Benghazi if fighter jets had been promptly deployed, and they weren't. And he claimed that a second rescue team that was supposed to go from Tripoli to Benghazi early that next morning was told not to go. He said special forces personnel were planning to board a C-130 flight at about 6 a.m. local time on September 12th, but got a phone call when they were on their way to the flight telling them, you know, you can't go now, you don't have the authority to go now, and they missed the flight. So there's some argument over that, too, which the White House is denying that. Jay Carney denied that whole claim, said, no, that's not true. And even the coordinator for counterterrorism says, listen, I ran the bureau at the time, and I can say that the charge is not true. I was out of the country on official travel at the time of the attack. I was in frequent contact with the department, and I didn't feel like the bureau was in any way trying to be left out of deliberations that they should have been part of. So, you know, who knows who's Zoom and who, but I think the fact that you have three career guys who had spotless records who are testifying on this, there's more to this story than meets the eye. But this is something that we have been talking about, like I said, since September 11th, the who, what, where, when, and why, how it all unfolded, and the fact that the story just didn't add up. And it's, again, another one of these things that's odd, that why not just say, here's what happened, here's what we thought happened, and that's where you get into trouble. People forget, but, you know, Watergate, what was Watergate about? Richard Nixon really had the vote in the bag, but he didn't think he did. So when he was given the opportunity to assure it, he made the mistake and stepped into the middle of it. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have been a two-term guy without Watergate hanging over his head and the disgrace and all that other stuff. And in the case of this story, Benghazi, it doesn't make any sense that this became such a big deal anyway. It's a big deal that people were killed there. But why wasn't the timetable laid out, and why didn't they just point to terrorism in the beginning instead of trying to whitewash this whole thing? We'll find out. Testimony coming in. We'll be talking about it on our next show here on America Tonight.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.